You are listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
This is CBS News and always on the hour. The presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with breaking news. Two sources confirmed to CBS 90-year-old Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein has died. Correspondent Tom Foti.
Dianne Feinstein started in local politics.
I was mayor of San Francisco for 9 years.
Before moving on to the U.S. Senate in 1992.
Mrs. Feinstein, aye.
The California Democrat took up many causes, including gun laws. Then Senator Joe Biden credited her leadership in sponsoring the 1994 federal assault weapons ban.
She went out and did something that was a product of an incredible amount of work.
But Feinstein's recent health problems and long Senate absences were too much for some members of her party. Congressman Ro Khanna saying she needed to resign before the end of her term.
She's representing 40 million people in California. We need someone who's going to be on top of the job.
Tom Foti, CBS News.
Once again, sources tell CBS News Congresswoman Dianne Feinstein has died at the age of 90. A day and a half to go, and lawmakers on Capitol Hill are still struggling to pass spending bills to avoid a government shutdown, with Republicans in the House divided. If the lights do go out in D.C., CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger says tens of thousands of government workers will be sidelined.
They'll either get furloughed or they'll be forced to come into work and not get paid. That could be up to a million people. Getting through an airport could be hard. Getting a passport could be hard.
The two-week-old United Auto Workers strike, as we wait to hear from Union President Sean Fain next hour, could be expanded. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert from Detroit.
Striking SUV plants would increase the pressure. Taking out engine plants would impact other assembly plants. And then there's the nuclear option. Is this the time to take out the pickup plants?
I don't know if it's time to take out the pickup truck plants, because that starts to immediately hurt everybody's pocketbook.
Cornell labor expert Art Wheaton does not expect Ford to be spared this time as it was last week, because he doesn't think they're making the progress that the UAW expects. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
CBS News has learned high-powered Republicans unimpressed with the current crop of GOP presidential candidates have their eyes on a new possibility. Correspondent Robert Costa.
Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, a Republican, is being recruited to make a late entry now into the 2024 Republican presidential race. He's being recruited by billionaires like Thomas Perfetti and by former Attorney General Bill Barr and many others.
Again, our top story, 90-year-old Congresswoman Dianne Feinstein has died. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Four police officers fatally shot a 36-year-old suspect during a domestic disturbance call in West Allis yesterday. The incident started when the officers encountered an armed man who had two knives. Despite multiple commands to drop him, the man didn't comply, resulting in gunfire. Five officers have been placed on administrative leave, and the investigation is being led by the Milwaukee Area Investigative Team. It got heated this week during a meeting about Milwaukee's Holt Avenue park-and-ride. Nate Wegehaupt has more.
The discussion was about the presence of people living in the parking lot. Neighbors say it's a nuisance, and county outreach teams say they are actively seeking housing solutions for those impacted. The meeting also highlighted financial constraints and a lack of landlords willing to rent to individuals with complex needs.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Wisconsin is facing an unprecedented threat, a constitutional crisis that would overrule the votes of nearly 2 million Wisconsinites who voted in the state Supreme Court election this past April. It's a threat made by some extremist Republicans who are desperate to overturn a fair and democratic election so they can hold on to power. Instead of focusing on the issues we really care about, they are threatening to illegally impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz without evidence before she's even ruled on a single case. Removing Justice Janet Protasiewicz from office would threaten our democracy and overrule the will of the people. But it's not too late to protect your vote and stand up for the rule of law. Tell your state legislators not to overturn the results of an election. Tell them to oppose the illegal impeachment of Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Contact your state legislators at 1-800-362-9472. Then visit defendjustice.us to learn more about how you can help stop the illegal impeachment of Justice Janet. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. and click on the Careers tab.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, let's talk about the auto worker strike and where this thing could possibly be headed. Now, when you factor in the auto worker strike, as well as, the shutdown and all these other factors, Sandy, you know, we've been staving off recession and all of those different things. But all of these things combined, Sandy, can they eventually bring down the economy?
Well, like I said, recessions are like the freight train you don't see. I mean, you don't get hit by a truck when you step off a curb if you see it. And recessions usually happen as a result of circumstances that aren't predicted in the normal course of things. So, yeah, you know, a strike in the nature of an automobile worker strike that shuts down the automobile industry, if it does, the automobile industry is 4 or 5% of our GDP. That's a big nick. You know, that's the kind of thing that could tip our economy. We do have currently a situation of inflation, and certainly that kind of a strike could slow down inflation, although it could create an add to the automobile shortage, which has created a spike up in price of automobiles. It's complicated. You know, it's hard to tell what the impact of something is going to be, what one thing. But it's not going to be, let's put it this way, it's not good for the economy.
So
we haven't, yeah.
So Sandy, this auto strike, it's not going to be settled in a short term. You know, I clearly to ask for a 40% increase over 4 years is inconceivable. Right. I mean, that's just not going to happen. You know, 30% is just not going to happen. So maybe, well, you know, they started 40%. Maybe what they're after is 20%.
Well, I think they already have 20% as an offer. My view of the way this thing has been going is that it's actually moving in the direction of settlement. You know, strikes don't settle based on people saying, yeah, we're close to settlement. We're going to settle. They're never close to settlement until they actually settle. But the incremental way that the auto workers are going about this seems to be relatively carefully done to protect the integrity of the industry and the companies that they're striking. So my guess is that this is sort of controlled warfare.
Well, you know, it certainly, the auto workers are in a position of strength, right? I mean, they're needed. And the auto industry is doing well, and it's not going to run the risk of destroying itself, right?
Well, you know, the auto industry has always been cyclical. It's cyclical with the economy and with recessions. So I suspect the problem is giving the increases that that are being asked for while still protecting the opportunity to protect themselves in the situation of recession. And I think the automobile workers need to be mindful about the same thing. And so it ends up that the formulation for their next pay structure is probably going to have to be sort of complicated.
You know, Sandy, I wanted to, here's a subject that, believe it or not, Donald Trump came up with an idea when he was president in 2018, and Merrick Garland hailed it and agreed, and it was where Donald Trump, it was called the Sentencing Project, or it's called the Sentencing Project, where prisoners over 60 years of age who are now either, ill and, faced with impending death, these crimes that they committed weren't, where somebody was murdered or state hurt or injured somebody. And he thought that that would be a good idea to allow them to finish, if they've been locked up for over 2/3 of their sentences, cheaper for our government, and open up space in these prisons for younger prisoners if they allowed those prisoners to finish out their sentences at home. And so this was, again, just a trial basis, but it's about to end. And your thoughts on whether or not we need to get to a point where we use some common sense when it comes to something like that, Sandy, when we know we've got prisoners that are, that are getting ready to die. What sense does it make that we keep them locked away and locked up and all that cost that goes along with that?
Well, I'm never going to argue against common sense. the fact is that our prison system needs to be looked at objectively, and the cost that we are experiencing for our prison system, has society changed that much since 1970? In 1970, the percentage of our budget that was being committed to the prison system was far, far lower than it is today. And the number of people incarcerated per capita in the state of Wisconsin and in the nation was far, far lower than it is now. And, crime has gone up. So it hasn't, this vastly increased incarceration rate has not caused us to commit fewer crimes. In fact, some might argue that it's maybe even enhanced the number of crimes, because the people who get out of prison have not been reformed because the process of incarceration has become a much more negative experience than it was back then as well. So, it's not politically popular in a time when law and order is the political cry of the day. But our penal system and our prison system is medieval. It's primitive, and our reaction to crime is primitive. And our prison system is an extremely expensive burden. And you would think that conservatives who are worried about expenditures by government would start to focus on what are better alternatives than imprisonment for many of the people currently incarcerated.
Sandy, it is, I, for the life of me, it's the backwards thinking sometimes. Well, they committed the crime, they got to stay there, until hell freezes over. Yeah, well, if a person committed the crime at 20 years old, Sandy, and they're now 70, how is that person a threat anymore to society? Well, they've got to pay the price because they did. I mean, the debate, Sandy, is pretty archaic.
Well, what's interesting, the debate is amongst particularly the law and order sorts, they're against long prison sentences. I mean, they're for long prison sentences unless it's for things like the January 6th activities or, you know, the white collar activities that they get pursued for. Then prison sentences are too long. And so, you know, I don't understand why our society, if the definition of crazy is doing the same thing over and over again and getting the very same result and then to continue doing it. And imprisonment has never been proven to be a social panacea for the problems of crime. Prosecution, yes. Getting caught and apprehended and having appropriate government action taken, yes. But long-term imprisonment, automatic imprisonment, imprisonment without parole, regardless of character and behavior, all of those things just lead to immense expense. And our prisons are overflowing. We're spending more on prison than we are on college.
You know, Sandy, it is going to take, you know, vision. And it's easy to jump on the bandwagon with this, you know, tough on crime. And none of us are saying you shouldn't be tough on crime. But the answer can never be, you know, lock people up for everything that, you know, that happens, because we clearly can't afford to lock people up for everything that happens, Sandy. There's got to be some alternative thinking to this. And that begins and starts with, as I said the other day, Sandy, preventing younger people from going down that path. Investing in younger people while they're young. You know, exactly. You don't become go ahead, Sandy.
Well, no, I mean, you know, your Voice of the Elders activity, but the government with preschool daycare, preschool education, doing the thing, investing in our youth is what our government ought to be spending a lot of money on, much more money on that than they spend on imprisonment. Imprisonment is the outcome of not spending our money in the right place.
Sandy, and it just, you know, it just makes sense. And sometimes I wonder why people are so predisposed against doing what makes sense. And it's almost like, well, I'm going to be on the other side of this. I don't care whether it's the right thing to do or not, but I'm gonna argue against it because, you know, people should be able to take care of these kids themselves. The government doesn't have a responsibility in that. And that backwards thinking is what's setting us up for what we're dealing with now. Got to go to a break. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
This is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry. Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy?
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with a high of 72. Winds out of the southeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy again tonight. Lows dip down to about 56. Highs level off around 80. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Dry with temperatures above average Sunday and Monday, and highs from the upper 70s to the low 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained.
This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips. There's no tenderness like grief in your fingertips. You're trying hard not to show it, but baby, baby, I love it. You lost that love feeling. Oh, that love feeling. You lost that love feeling. Now it's gone, gone, gone. Oh, oh, oh.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, listen to this. Far-right sheriffs gather to hear how they can fight the federal government. Sandy, sheriffs are trying to figure out how they can fight the federal...
Who called the meeting? Robert E. Lee? Who called that
meeting? A meeting of county sheriffs, some of whom came from as far away as Pennsylvania, was held in North Carolina to hear why the law enforcement agency refused to follow the federal government report locals news site, The Assembly. Richard Mack, the founder and president of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, told the crowd that despite a refusal to follow the feds, they should follow the Bill of Rights and fight back against those who don't. Sandy, I mean, I don't, for the life of me, I don't understand. This government is so divided, Sandy, that, you know, when are we going to take this seriously enough, Sandy? You know, for these sheriffs to say this outwardly, they're sheriffs sworn to uphold the law, Sandy, that they aren't going to...
Well, you know, that...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, one of the problems with the right wing is their use of the Constitution as, you know, they've weaponized the term, they've weaponized saying it, they've weaponized the notion of the fact that they're defending it, but they seem to have no concept of what the words actually mean. And the oxymoron quality of a meeting of sheriffs who are meeting so that they can defy the federal government in the name of the Constitution is crazy, you know, and the fact that they talk about the Bill of Rights, and that they're going to exercise the power of the Bill of Rights, which is a part of the Constitution. It's the First Amendments to the Constitution. But, you know, the overall Constitution would suggest that what they're meeting to do is to plot sedition. Okay. And it has it smacks of the same thing that people who buy AR-15s tend to talk about, is how they're going to use their AR-15s to defend themselves against the government when the government comes to impose what they view as bad laws. They would describe them as unconstitutional laws. But incidentally, our Constitution provides that laws are constitutional until a court decides they aren't. You know, it isn't up to Tom, Dick, and Mary to decide individually which laws they like, which laws they think are constitutional. No, and it's not up to the sheriffs either.
You know, Sandy, Max Group believes that the county sheriffs are the last line of defense standing between the overreaching government and your constitutionally guaranteed rights.
Hey,
Sandy, a sheriff, right? Sheriffs who believe that they can somehow take on our government, the depth of that depravity, Sandy, and the impact of what that could, imagine, Sandy, if this actually occurs.
What is it that, do sheriffs take some kind of Kool-Aid when they get elected? I mean, you know, we had David Clark here in Milwaukee
County.
They've
got some in Texas. They've got some in Texas and Florida.
Yeah, and in Maricopa County in Arizona. I mean, sheriffs tend to be sort of out of the Wild West, apparently, in their thought processes, and are not apparently well-schooled in, for instance, the Constitution.
Well, you know, Sandy, we laugh and joke, but the seriousness of this, the FBI and others, the government, Sandy, is clearly preparing for what they see. I mean, the government can't be silent to these kinds of threats, Sandy, can they? Can they ignore it and just say, well, those are some crazy sheriffs? Can they ignore that?
Well, of course not. And what does happen in the context of sheriffs, for instance, deciding to, in their armed capacity, deciding to resist enforcement of federal laws, to get in the way of enforcing federal laws. I mean, what does an orderly government do about that? Do we end up having arms used? Do the federal marshals move in? You know, that's what happened in Arkansas, essentially. Back in the day when the integration of schools and a governor stood in the way of the enforcement of federal law, we ended up with the National Guard going in to enforce federal law in the context of someone deciding that they had the right to interpret law onto themselves. And so now we've got sheriffs around the country doing the same thing. I mean, it's chaotic, and it's the beginning of nihilism, of no government.
We've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Show weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
CBS News special report. We got confirmation last half hour. California's 90-year-old Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein has died. Correspondent Scott McFarlane is on Capitol Hill.
A fixture here in Washington and a fixture in her home city of San Francisco, where she took over as mayor after a political assassination in that city. When she got here to the U.S. Senate, During the Year of the Woman in 1992, she eventually took over as chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, the powerful, pivotal Senate Judiciary Committee, which confirmed Supreme Court justices. She was the first woman to hold that position.
Feinstein served 31 years in the Senate, longer than any other woman in history. She'd been under increasing pressure to resign after she was hospitalized in February with shingles and required a wheelchair to get around when she returned to work in May. Republican Senator Tom Tillis posting to X, Feinstein lived an incredible life dedicated to public service. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Four West Dallas police officers started shooting when a man came at them with knives yesterday. West Dallas Police Chief Patrick Mitchell says it was a domestic incident at 71st and Greenfield yesterday morning.
Four officers total fired. They will be placed on leave.
The Wauwatosa Police Department is leading the investigation into the shooting. Over $10,000 worth of restaurant equipment was stolen from the Estabrook Beer Garden in Milwaukee County. Officials say the theft occurred between Tuesday night and Wednesday morning. The Beer Garden is currently celebrating Oktoberfest. Despite losing fryers and a refrigerator, the Beer Garden operator plans to remain open throughout the weekend. Heading into the weekend, AAA has gas prices about the same in Waukesha and Milwaukee counties at $3.35 a gallon, with it being about 20 cents higher in Ozaukee County. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. Sandy, let's have this conversation that I think is kind of long overdue, because many of us, we you know, states' rights and the federal government and who's right, and yes, we live in states, and states have their own laws, but shouldn't there be some understanding between the states and the federal government that we need one another, and that we, the states, have more power than the federal government? How does that make any sense, Sandy?
Well, you're really going back to the founding fathers. The initial contract between the states was the Articles of Confederacy, and the Articles of Confederacy were much more like the European Union, in which each of the states maintained a great deal of independent sovereignty and the power of the federal government to override and to regulate all the states uniformly was more limited. And the founding fathers decided that didn't work, and they came up with the federalized version of the Constitution, which is our current Constitution, which is dependent upon the notion that the federal government has overriding authority over the states, and the only thing that the states have regulatory authority over that's unique to them are things that are wholly outside of interstate commerce, wholly outside of having an interstate impact, so that something that's done in Wisconsin has no potential impact in Illinois or Michigan or whatever. And in today's world of interconnectedness, the number of things that fall within that category of being absolutely intrastate is very small, very small. And so the federal government does have overriding authority, and that's the nature of the Constitution. And sheriffs who want to take that on are simply attacking the Constitution that was adopted by the founding fathers. They aren't trying to defend the Constitution. They're trying to rewrite the Constitution in their own way. And there has long been a debate about states' rights. Back in the day of Jim Crow, the main reason for the states' rights argument was that the Jim Crow states wanted to defend their capacity to essentially have that sort of legislation in their states. And in 1964, the federal government overrode all that, and the Supreme Court upheld all of that. So, the fact is that that our federal government does have overriding authority, and people might not like it, but the people who don't like it have to understand that that's the country they were born into, and that's the country they pledged allegiance to.
Sandy, when you have and I don't know if it's just me, but in my lifetime I haven't seen the kinds of attacks. Not in my lifetime, but in at least the last 30 years with these attacks on the federal government that continue to keep coming. And yet to think that somehow the states don't need the federal government is lunacy, Sandy.
Well, it's not just an attack. It's an attack on government. I mean, these people who don't want the federal government wouldn't really want the state government to be employing the kind of restrictions against them that the federal government is. They just don't like being constrained by law. And so, they want to pick and choose, and they want to define the Bill of Rights, the freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is not unlimited. We all know that. We know that about the, calling fire out in a movie theater, but it's more limited than that as well. And so it's diluted. And what we've got is essentially an anti-establishment movement. We've got a movement that is
Sandy, that's growing.
Headed in the direction of anarchy.
Yes, and, it's yeah, growing.
It's dangerous. Yeah, it's what's going on, though. And I guess it started with Reagan's attack on government, but he was attacking government maybe in a more civilized way than it's being attacked now. Now it's being attacked in all of its forms. And it's being attacked, the FBI, the things that implement government are all under attack. The courts, the courts and the police are the people who implement government against the will of the people, to the extent that government is imposing restrictions that somebody doesn't like, right? A business doesn't like the environmental restriction they have to operate under, but it's the law.
Sandy, there's all these threats on the lives of FBI agents. And maybe many of the American people aren't aware of it, but it is. It's happening, Sandy. And yet you, these people who are doing these things claim to be law and order. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Ken from Sturgeon Bay. Good morning to you, Ken. Quickly, you say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. How come the Democratic Party keeps wanting to legalize marijuana if it's federally illegal?
The Democratic Party is not the only people who want to legalize marijuana. Common sense people want to legalize marijuana. You know, Sandy, you want to respond to this at all?
The polls in Wisconsin show that something like 70% of Wisconsinites want to legalize marijuana. And in all the states that have legalized marijuana, they are not all blue states, okay? Many of them are purple states. So the illegality of marijuana at the federal level is under reexamination now, and it has to do with the interstate movement of marijuana. But there has been no effort at the federal level to say that the federal law with respect to marijuana preempts the ability of a state to regulate marijuana independently from. So, you know, that has already been determined. The courts have decided that marijuana can be independently regulated by each state. I think what the caller is talking about is really just an extension of his own personal view, because the polling data in the United States suggests whatever you think personally about it, that the general public is in favor of legalizing marijuana.
All right, let's go to CJ's back. CJ, quickly.
Charles Dunham. Thank you for taking my call. You spoke about the shutdown. Every man, woman, and child, and this is a fact you never dispute.
Yes, and we hear it every day. Okay, so now what?
Never acknowledge it, Earl. And the rogue sheriffs are angry all over the country because we got the liberal DAs releasing criminals when they don't get actual justice for the victims. So we just saw it in Philadelphia, three young
kids. So, CJ, the rogue sheriffs are right in saying that they're going to refuse, to follow, guidelines from the federal government. Who do you think is going to win that argument?
Why do you think they should believe them? Because we watched the president with the border.
Sandy, you want to respond to this at all?
Well, this is the problem with picking and choosing what laws we follow, what presidents we decide to honor the power of. This isn't the prerogative of the people exactly.
Right.
we can't let Tom, Dick, and Mary pick and choose. And district attorneys are put into office, elected, most of them. So that's a democratic process that gets them into power, and they are making the decisions associated with justice. And apparently, when they decide not to prosecute a crime, they can be attacked, but they can also be attacked when they decide to prosecute crimes. Many of them are, they're being attacked for prosecuting Donald Trump. They're being attacked for prosecuting the January 6th folks that are being imprisoned. And so, who you prosecute is a decision that is made in the prosecutorial process. And everyone in the public is not necessarily going to be happy with it, but it is a process. And the people making those decisions are elected officials.
Sandy, you're right that people are going to unilaterally make decisions. I don't like what, the court systems are doing. Me personally. And then I am going to do something about it. As if you, an individual, somehow has authority and power over the federal government. I don't, Sandy, I don't think the federal government is going to tolerate that when it comes to the kinds of things that these sheriffs said. They don't have
to. Incidentally, CJ has it confused. District attorneys are not federal officials. They're state officials. They're local officials. And they're elected in that fashion. And so the district's attorney are making decisions that are not federally mandated. And to the extent that a sheriff is deciding to fight against federal mandates, that doesn't have anything to do with district attorney activity. And so CJ is describing a red herring. If the sheriffs are unhappy with district attorney activity, that's a matter that's entirely within the jurisdiction of the sheriff. In fact, district attorneys tend to get elected locally.
Let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Well, Earl, we, the people, are supposed to be the government. We, the people, I think is what the three words are in the federal constitution, because it meant that we were coming together to develop something called a government, which has rules. And we, the people, pay the taxes. So therefore, we can have a functioning group of people that actually legislate for us and to get things for us like roads and bridges and all the other infrastructure that is there. These guys really believe in I, the people. They really believe it's me. It's not about us. They don't believe in the United States. They just believe whatever, they believe in libertarianism is what they believe in. They really don't believe in government. And that's why they don't have a problem when a corporation or a heavy-handed person like a Trump or an Erdogan or a Putin or any of those people come in, because then they don't have to do, they can just do whatever the hell they want. They don't care if Putin, you know, goes and puts all of these people, or Hitler goes and puts all these people to death by concentration camps. They only care about if it's going to affect them. And they better wake up. Because the thing is, it will affect them, because that's the only thing that will trickle down after a while, is the fact of the repression of your actual rights. I really do believe that we should have, instead of doing the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, we probably should have said Pledge of Allegiance to We the People, our Pledge of Allegiance to our government, because they literally, just like they think Bible verses are taken literally, they literally believe that it's a Pledge of Allegiance to a flag, and they actually believe that they're supposed to have this undying nationalism, which really becomes fascism, at the end of the day.
Tom, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, yeah, what we've got, I mean, actually, Paul Ryan used the right word. What we've got now is a nihilistic movement amongst the Republicans, an attack on government in all its forms, to the extent, and what they want is an autocracy. So an autocracy is the government of an individual. And are we really, does anyone really want to be subject to the whims and thoughts of an individual? I mean, people might be frustrated with the lack of responsiveness of the current government, but talk about unresponsive. Autocracies are the least.
All right, we've got to go to break. 844-967-20.
Weather brought to you by the Town of Brookfield's third annual Brooktoberfest, September 30th from 11 until 6 at Steffen Soccer. Enjoy live music, local food vendors, best dress competition, wiener dog races, a kid zone, a classic car show, and more. Log on, discoverbrookfield.com. Prost.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Earl Ingram.
It's Wednesdays, that means Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line and in full effect.
I think that the caller is right to be very suspicious. So we need to kind of hold both thoughts at once. Let's see if there's something there about Robin Voss being afraid and backing down, but let's be prepared for the idea this is all a ruse.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 72. Southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows level off around 56 tonight. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow, highs around 80. Temps above average Sunday and Monday, with highs from the upper 70s to the low 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
I hear something saying, the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. All day long they're saying,
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789, Texas, that same number. It's Friday. It means my co-host Sandy Williams is on the line. And you know, Sandy, what is so frightening to me, and I hope that our nation is not underestimating this. I don't believe it is. And because, again, we came so close on January 6th that our government realized, maybe they didn't realize just what a predicament the country is in, but the more you hear people, like some of the callers that we have here, and what I see when I'm reading about other things, the real inherent danger to this country, it's not North Korea, it's not Iran. It's not China, Sandy. It's not Russia. It's your own countrymen who are so crazed with their thoughts, Sandy, and they look at the government as their enemy. And they somehow think that they are going to force the government to act in the way that they want it to act. Not what's in the best interest of the people, but the way they see it.
I mean, absolutely. You know, that's nihilism. That's anarchy. And it's autocracy. And I think what's happening is that the problem is that too many people have become frustrated with our democracy. And our democracy is in a frustrating position because ever since about the year 2000, we've been locked in deadlock. Okay. We've been in a gridlock in which nothing happens. And so people who are frustrated with nothing happening, have some of them have jumped the shark and have decided instead of improving the democracy, they want to move from democracy to something else, an autocracy, to putting all the power in one person's hands so that one person can accomplish the things they think they want to have accomplished. The problem we've got with the Donald Trump is that Donald Trump has announced his desire to have all the power put into his hands, but he's not told anyone what he's going to do with that power in terms of implementing policies that could be good for people. He simply spends his time fanning the anger and frustrations of the people, the anger, frustrations, and fears, saying, you've got to elect me because I know you're angry, frustrated, and fearful, and I'm going to solve for that. But there's been no explanation about what the solution is. And that's the crime today, is that we've got politicians who are arguing to get more government power, but they aren't suggesting what they want to do with that power.
Sandy, are you surprised that we've devolved into this kind of, you know, government. I mean, you know, I've seen some things, but never anything like this. And to be quite frank with you, I don't see how or what it's going to take to turn it around. These people have made enemies. I mean, real enemies of this government, and people are armed, Sandy, and they're armed to the teeth, and they actually,
Well, I mean, they've decided that the tools of government are their enemy. They've decided the courts are their enemy. They've decided that the FBI, the ways in which federal law is implemented, are their enemies. And so, how do you get over that? I mean, how do you solve for that? Because that's the basis on which you have essentially revolutions. That's been the coloring book for autocratic dictatorships since time immemorial.
But Sandy,
and we're falling prey to it, and we don't even know it. And I think that's what happens in democracy. That's why democracy is fragile. That's why people have always called our democracy an experiment. And unfortunately, I think the European versions of the experiment are more solidly based than ours is, because the European versions are delivering to the people more value, right? They've got healthcare, they've got education, they've got things tangible that they can look at and say, my government is doing this for me. And unfortunately, here in the United States, we've decided to design a government which has far less of that currently available for the people to look at and hold on to.
Sandy, could you have imagined that we would have devolved into this in this country in this period of time?
This is actually beyond, this is all beyond whatever I imagined could happen to to our country. Donald Trump and the movement that has developed from that, and the outward expression of anger, frustration, nihilism, autocracy, all of that has become openly discussed, and it's all a total astonishing event. I mean, let's face it, we all woke up in November of 2015 astonished.
Yeah, yes, Andy, and it just hasn't gotten any better. I do hope, and one of the reasons why you and I continue to plug away at it is, even though there are people who disagree, we've got to have a conversation, right? I mean, people have to be willing to face this for what it is, and even though it's going to anger some people, you've got to talk about this. To shy away from it doesn't make it any less likely that we're in this dangerous point in time.
Well, that's why I keep talking about endgame. So when CJ and others call and they voice their frustration and how they're angry at the current situation, and they discuss the things that about the FBI and corruption or whatever, I say, okay, how do we fix it? What's the end game? How do we get the FBI? Do we destroy the FBI? Because what's the end game? What replaces it? Do you destroy the implements of the tools that implement federal government? The courts. You don't like the courts. What's the end game? What's the solution? That's the problem with a version of politics in which all you do is express anger and frustration, and you don't talk about answers. You don't talk about solutions. You don't talk about end games. And I'm afraid America has become very bad at end games. And we've proven that with our foreign policy, and we're now proving it with our domestic policy.
All right. We got to leave it there. Hey, join Sandy and I as we will be doing color and what else is it, Sandy? We'll be announcing the Black Shirts Waukesha High School football game this evening. Gotta go. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin, for a great week. Sandy, we'll talk. See you later.
Yep.
The Todd Alba Show.
You can't impeach someone before they've committed an alleged crime. Even principled conservatives are going to look at that action and say, come on, what's going on?
The Todd Alba Show.
Dan Knotel, Republican of Germantown, said he was moving forward to uphold his quote-unquote constitutional duty, which is a joke.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.